You're listening to the CyberWire Network, powered by N2K.
Hey, everybody. Today, I want to highlight a name that all of us know well, and that is our sponsor, Splunk. You need to keep operations humming around the clock, but potential disruptions are everywhere. Splunk helps you predict problems and find and fix issues fast so you can reduce risk and ditch downtime. The world's largest enterprises rely on Splunk's unified security and observability platform to become more efficient, resilient, and innovative. With Splunk, you can react quickly, evolve faster, and be ready for anything. Stay ahead of disruptions. Learn more at splunk.com/resilience. And we thank Splunk for sponsoring our show. In the complex world of enterprise identity, securing legacy web apps at scale can be daunting. Strata Identity makes it simple. With Strata, you can effortlessly integrate non-standard apps with any identity service, like MFA or SSO, with zero coding and zero hassle. Designed by identity architects for identity architects, Strata works with every vendor, standard, and app architecture. This means your apps can now speak modern protocols and integrate seamlessly with your chosen identity services. From securing on-prem web apps to migrating away from outdated identity providers or consolidating them, Strata helps you keep your complex access policies as you modernize your identity infrastructure and get rid of technical debt. Join leading organizations like 3M, Dallas County, and CIBC in securing your apps with Strata. Visit strata.io/cyberwire, share your identity security priorities, and receive a complimentary pair of AirPods Pro. Offer valid for organizations with over 5,000 employees. Connect today at strata.io/cyberwire.
Election hacking fears rise with an FBI warning. Trident iPhone 0 days and the Pegasus tool that exploited them bring scrutiny to lawful intercept vendors. St. Jude Medical disputes allegations that its pacemakers are hackable, and the security sector does some ethical introspection about disclosure. The IoT is beginning to be exploited in DDoS campaigns. Malicious EMV cards are implicated in Thailand's ATM skimming crime wave. And Angry Birds join Pokemon in the Enterprise penalty box. I'm Dave Bittner in Baltimore with your CyberWire summary for Tuesday, August 30th, 2016. The FBI 2 weeks ago quietly issued an alert to warn various concerned parties that an unknown actor was targeting state election systems. Yahoo News learned of the warning and broke the story yesterday. In essence, foreign hackers last month penetrated 2 election databases by consensus in Illinois and Arizona. And for foreign hackers, most observers are reading Russian intelligence services. The attackers used SQL injection attacks and employed commonly available off-the-shelf tools, including SQL Map, DIR Buster, and Acunetics. The Multi-State Information Sharing and Analysis Center, MSISAC, has also warned of incidents involving state election services. Threat Connect told Yahoo News that at least one of the IP addresses implicated in the attacks has appeared before in Russian criminal hacking fora. Wired reports that sources inside the U.S. intelligence community have, on background, attributed the attacks to Russian intelligence services. Offering some useful perspective, Motherboard points out that state election databases have not only been hacked before, but the information they contain is often made readily available by state officials themselves. Besides, the number of records effective was relatively small, about 200,000 in Illinois, reports say, and data were simply exfiltrated, not, as far as is known, destroyed or manipulated. What's troubling is not so much the breach itself, but the foreign involvement and foreign interest, the context provided by other recent hacks of political parties and campaigns, and the fears of data manipulation. The data themselves are not particularly valuable, but the contribution the incidents make toward increasing distrust of U.S. elections would be an information operations coup. St. Jude Medical strongly disputes the pacemaker vulnerabilities disclosed in the course of short selling by Muddy Waters Capital and MedSec. The device manufacturer says the exploits, as described, aren't possible. Several observers find things to dispute in both Muddy Waters' charges and St. Jude's rebuttal, but the disclosure of vulnerabilities in the cause of shorting a stock hasn't generally met with much approval. We spoke with the University of Maryland's Ben Yellen about the implications of this turn to stock speculation for the security industry, and we'll hear from him after the break. And of course, the disclosure of allegedly serious and exploitable pacemaker bugs has contributed to increased concerns about life-threatening IoT hacks. Researchers from Level 3 Communications describe another risk in the Internet of Things, the growing possibility and likelihood of IoT-based distributed denial-of-service campaigns. The company has been working with Flashpoint to track the rise of DDoS botnets exploiting IoT devices. Criminal groups including Lizard Squad and Poodle Corps are investing in IoT malware, and a large fraction of the bots observed engaging in these attacks are located in Taiwan, Colombia, and Brazil. The Ripper ATM malware FireEye found in Thailand appears to use a rogue EMV chip. A specially crafted and malicious chipped card may have been used to introduce the skimming malware into the ATMs. Criminals are believed to have stolen roughly $378,000 from ATMs in Thailand last week. Senior executives represent a vulnerable attack surface at their own companies. We spoke with Dan Lorman, Chief Security Officer at Security Mentor, about preventing C-suite fraud.
The phishing attacks, you know, the links, the different ways people get you to click and you know, download malware or go to bad sites or give information up. You know, spear phishing was kind of the 2.0, where you've had, you know, a little bit more targeted. They know a little bit more about you, maybe done some research. And then we've kind of gone to a new level now lately. This industry is calling whaling now, going after the big fish, if you will. That involves, you know, large sums of money. It may or may not involve clicking on links. It may just be, I mean, the goal of the bad guys is to build your trust and then get you to take actions, whether that be transfer money, whether that be give them information, which they can then, you know, use. Whaling is really fraud that's committed against businesses. And it's really rampant right now.
And so take me through the process. I'm someone, you know, sitting in my office. Maybe I'm someone on the financial side of the business. And how are these people going to target me?
First of all, their goal is to get your trust and to build that trust. And we've seen a wide variety of ways they do that. They get to know you or they come in as a customer. More likely, they're building a relationship. So they're getting background. They're trying to learn about you, your likes. And they really are going after, first of all, they're targeting, it could be a CEO in a company, a COO, or someone who has authority to make transfers, wire transfers, that kind of a thing. After they built up the trust, maybe they're just a kind of a normal relationship, maybe doing different types of things for weeks or months. Usually something out of the ordinary happens. For example, there's been a case where they actually built a relationship up with an accountant, and then they were able to get the information about the CEO. He actually was on a trip, a vacation. They compromised the CEO's personal account, and via normal channels, an email came into the accountant saying, "Hey, I'm on, you know, this trip. I'm out. I believe it was fishing, but you know, I'm on this. I'm out of can't process this. I'll get you the paperwork tomorrow," kind of thing. But please transfer this information to this partner. It was a block of social security numbers and names. It was a file. It wasn't necessarily just a financial transfer, but the person thought this was legitimate. It thought it was from the CEO. The person was gone that day. They had a relationship with this other person that they knew of, so it seemed like it made sense, although it was out of the ordinary. They went ahead and did the transfer, and they only really uncovered it later when fraudulent IRS tax returns were coming in, and they traced it back to the fact that this individual had given up that sensitive information on their clients.
What are the things that people can do to protect themselves? How do we defend against these sort of attacks?
You know, I think people need to be trained. They need to know what the processes are. They need to be retrained. They need to understand the threat environment that's always changing. The bad guys are always adjusting their techniques to try and get in. And then lastly, I think you really need to have executives that understand and have executive buy-in. I mean, getting that executive buy-in overlaying this, They need to understand this is a really serious issue. And they can't wait till the horses get out of the barn before they, you know, fix the barn door. I mean, it's too late at that point.
That's Dan Lorman from Security Mentor. In Australia, you can bring your own device to work, but you'd better not bring your own birds, if the trend watchers at Mobile Iron are to be believed. At least not if the birds are ill-tempered. Angry Birds is the most commonly blacklisted app in the lucky country. This kind of makes sense to us. If you think of emus or cassowaries, we wouldn't want them around the shop either. Although the geese around the CyberWire World headquarters fancy themselves little velociraptors, too. Niantic Labs, the wildly successful if harried purveyors of Pokemon Go, earlier this month threatened players who downloaded unauthorized apps that enabled cheating with a lifetime ban. But they're relenting a bit. If you didn't really know what you were doing was wrong, you downloading cheaters, Niantic will overlook it just this once. But if you do it again, no Pikachu for you. Ever. Got that? Hope so. And finally, France's education minister wants Pokemon Go out of the schools, for a host of good reasons, not the least of which is the sensible desire to keep dodgy outsiders away from the students. At least the rarer Pokemon should stay away, the minister says, thereby reducing what the lawyers would call an attractive nuisance. As always, there are collateral consequences, and we'd like to point out some of them to our many younger French listeners. Nicolas, Clotaire, Alceste, Louisiette. You're on notice. When your homework's missing, the excuse, tiens, le charmandre Laurent Dumanger, is no longer going to fly. So, sois sage, nos copains. Do you know our podcast is actually really big in France? Well, it used to be anyway. Joining me is Ben Yellen. He's from the University of Maryland Center for Health and Homeland Security. Ben, I wanted to follow up with you on this story about Muddy Waters Capital and these medical devices, the short selling of stocks. What is your take on this?
Well, I think we have both legal and ethical problems here. I'll start with the legal problems. The hacking itself is actually not illegal. The U.S. Copyright Office last year approved an exception to the relevant copyright laws that says that hackers, if they are acting in good faith, can attempt to discover the security flaws in medical devices. That exception has been in place since last October. And in terms of MedSec emailing this information to the investment firm, so far there's no illegal activity in that. The SEC may look into this issue, but it's certainly not something like insider trading, at least in the definition as we understand it.
You use the word good faith. I mean, I think people would question good faith motivations here.
Absolutely. I mean, I think you certainly question good faith when it seems that the purpose of discovering this flaw was to enter into some sort of financial arrangement where the investment firm is shorting the stock and MedSec itself is by benefiting financially. MedSec would argue that they have acted in good faith, that they are trying to have the market correct for St. Jude's failure in securing the product. But again, that presents major ethical issues. And I think that there might be a decent argument that the good faith standard here has not been met.
So where do you think this will go from here?
I think the SEC will look at, from a market perspective, whether this is something that will be legal. I think this is such a novel question that they just haven't had a chance to look at it yet. In terms of whether the hacking will continue, I think that's the biggest potential for trouble. If cybersecurity organizations see that they can turn a profit by discovering information and essentially selling it to investment firms, they would have incentive to continue doing that. And by doing that, it creates a significant risk. I mean, now you have the potential that hackers or bad actors will use these vulnerabilities to try and hack into these medical devices. And obviously, when we're talking about pacemakers, that can have extremely serious consequences. I mean, you and I were talking before we came on here about what if somebody did some sort of ransomware attack and demanded, you know, $1 million or I will use my hacking capability to shut down your pacemaker. I think that has very, very dangerous implications.
All right. We'll keep an eye on it. Ben Yellen, thanks for joining us.
Thank you, Dave.
Don't struggle to align your organization's cybersecurity with business risk. Get the only solution that goes beyond reacting to threats with vulnerability and risk monitoring. You need the next evolution of MDR, and only Critical Start delivers it. Critical Start doesn't just monitor and respond to threats. They put you in control by detecting suspicious activities, quickly responding to contain threats, and identifying your most critical assets and protecting them against vulnerabilities and exposures. With continuous visibility, expert guidance, and measurable risk reduction, Critical Start has redefined what it means to manage cyber risk. Demonstrate provable security maturity to your leadership while positioning your program to achieve the greatest risk reduction per dollar spent. Stop fearing risk and start managing it with Critical Start. Visit CriticalStart.com and request a demo today. That's CriticalStart.com.
And that's the CyberWire. We are proudly produced in Maryland by our talented team of editors and producers. I'm Dave Bittner. Thanks for listening.